It's Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. There's tons and tons and tons of stuff going on. I have no idea what this upgrade is about, but I do know it's happening because my life has just absolutely gone into turbo. Okay, so I don't know what's going on your end, if you're having the same kind of experiences, but just go with it. Just go with it, because this means exciting things are happening. And my dreams have been absolutely on fire. And the things that are going on around me are encouraging, because I've discovered so many more outlets and so many more people who are sharing. And it's becoming available. I don't know if my, you know, Google rhythm algorithm has changed. Or I know the Facebook one has. But where it shut me down, the Google one opened wide. So we're going to talk with Shelly Kerr, because I think that's part of her Pythagorean healing and all of her stuff, the past life lady. Okay. She's extraordinary, and she's also very prolific. Thank you. And so we're going to check in with Shelly. Hey, Shelly, how's it going?
Hey, Wendy, how you doing?
Well, it's just incredible. And I keep, every time we've talked before, just to solidify our plans on doing this interview. And every time I would try to say Pythagorean healing, now I'm really, really working on it, I kept saying hearing. So I want to go. The thing is, you're offering some wonderful bonuses and perks for people who go onto your website, pastlifelady.com, and they're going to find out some more stuff we're going to talk about in a moment. But why? Help me. I thought maybe this has to do with, all of a sudden, you know, I've had several prompts over the last year, 6 months specifically, on our expanding our telepathic abilities and really, really working on that. So does that have, do you think that might make a connection there with your Pythagorean healing and putting it up to maybe the hearing aspect? Does that make sense to you?
You're welcome to call it Pythagorean hearing if that's what you want, because I think you're right. I have also been getting that yes, we're going telepathic. That's like all these emojis and like we don't use full sentences anymore. I used to think that that was a downturn of society. And now I've realized that maybe it's actually not devolvement, but it's evolvement. And once we get past symbols, then we're just going to go to straight telepathy. So this hearing thing that you're hearing, I think it's happening for a reason.
You know what? And that emoji thing too, there's, when I want to smile and I'm saying something that might be a little bit, if it's questionable, because we interpret language so many different ways, and especially with our past experiences in our childhood, our history of using language in a certain form, then we don't always make the connection. Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's warmth. Oh, that's distance. You know, the language can be so, I think, ineffective in the way we are expressing ourselves. As a matter of fact, I did a search this morning, and I can't remember, something came up about the Irish language and saying that these terms actually were much more dimensional and had a greater depth than the way they're being used now. And they meant the unseen in addition to the seen world. And that isn't how it comes across today. So this, with your, I think the Pythagorean element brings other pieces of that into the equation, saying we are much larger than what we are dealing with now. And that's how you have basically, you know, brought it into a new awareness by encapsulating it. So, okay, let's backtrack. What is it, Pythagorean healing?
So what it is, it's stuff that had been sitting in the drawer for literally almost 15 plus years, that I developed in the earlier part of my career. And I kind of put it away until the Edgar Cayce Egyptian energy healing method came out. And then after working with that one and realizing that these are symbols, we're talking about symbols, okay, symbols in healing, I used to have a hard time explaining it to people because nobody understands what I'm talking about. In healing, a symbol is a shortcut for the subconscious mind. Like if we want to send love, then we send a little heart. But now we have emojis, it's much easier to explain that. So
yes,
the Edgar Cayce system is a series of symbols mentioned by Edgar Cayce in the life readings that I extrapolated and turned into a method where we put symbols through the top of the head. So this other thing, Pythagorean healing level one, was in the drawer for 20 years. And right before the Cayce book came out, my guides were like, okay, pull that thing out. I've been showing this thing to people on and off for 20 years, well, 15 years, whatever. And, you know, they're kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. And now it seems like, because these are basically in level, there's, well, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
I know.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm like, oh, everything's going so fast. I can't even.
Yes.
So Pythagorean Healing in its entirety is going to be a series of books. Each book has a standalone technique that the reader can actually use today without taking an expensive class to bring healing to the body. So in level one, this is the stuff that's been in the drawer. It's basically where we're going to take the primary numbers, 1 through 9, in certain colors that are, we'll save that for book readers. Okay.
Yeah.
Preferably in certain color frequencies, putting them down through the top of the head. And what they do is they go inside the cellular structure of the person and change the DNA cellular structure. Then in level two, we'll move on to that in a minute. But the bottom line is that when we're talking about why we're using energy healing and we are moving towards some kind of evolvement towards this telepathic person, this highly evolved person. And we know, and I know you know this because you and I have had conversations about this, that we can consciously go in and shift our own DNA, RNA, and we can make upgrades to ourselves because this world and the vibrational frequencies in this planet are changing so fast that we have to go in now. And I feel like that we are in a different age. We're not going to the mountaintop. We're not going to talk to a guru and hang out for several years till we get it. We have to take these techniques, use these methods to upgrade our own DNA so that we can keep in alignment and keep changing ourselves to stay in rapport with the planetary shifts that are coming and all the stuff that is coming. We know it's coming. We feel it, and it's going to happen. And so the best way we can be prepared for that is to use these different techniques. So the first one is balancing the numbers. Then in the second book is called Binary Healing. And I'll explain more about that in a minute. And then the third one in this series that's already been published is Platonic Healing, where we use some of the wisdom of Plato and the ancient Greeks to also do balancing. But the whole goal of it is balancing, expanding, morphing, and keeping in alignment with our planet.
Okay. So with this, though, as I'm, you know, recapping that, it changes your DNA when you're putting the colors and the symbols together and inserting them through the top, the crown chakra.
That is correct. It is shifting the person at a cellular level.
Okay. And I had just read this morning that something about that, that said meditation does that. And so I'm right on board with it.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are powerful and we can change our reality, our physical being because of our thinking. And that's absolutely spot on. So this is giving a tool to help you assist and in some way, shape or form direct that so you can see the response and see how it works, right?
Yes, like meditation, absolutely. I've done a lot of books, as you know, about the gemstones, the healing gems. Those can also shift the frequencies. I think that some of these advanced healing techniques, so they're just giving you, again, like we were talking about, symbology that's going to help you just deepen that work and make different shifts and changes that are in alignment with some of the things going on right now on the planet.
Okay, and let's go back to the telepathy, because with that, I think it's so funny. Last night, I was preparing to, or yesterday, I had been getting these little prompts thinking, okay, I need to make sure everything's all set. So finally, I take a look, and I think, you know what? I look at your stuff, and I don't see the phone number. Usually, I write the phone number down when I've confirmed an interview, and I didn't. So I call you up and say, hello, and you're like, hi, nice to hear from you. What a happy accident. And it's like, okay, all of a sudden we're back on track and we're reconnecting and I'm playing, oh my gosh, you've got even more stuff than last time we spoke. And I needed to talk to you. And so that's the thing of, it wasn't going to just be, all right, everything's preset. I needed to go back and refresh. And for me, that's a telepathic prompt that I'm connected on a larger plane of awareness that there are things I need to follow up on. And there are reasons that these things happen. And I see, to me, that is telepathy. That is this PSI mm-hmm. stuff that we have going on that says, I need to make this happen. And following up on it is where we succeed when we just, it's all, you know, I'm just imagining it's, I've got other things going on. But that I think is the telepathy. And I think with what you're doing, you're helping people re-engage with their own intuitive knowing that this will work when I apply it. This will work. And that's part of our growth in consciousness right now, where we are evolving at such a tremendous rate. It's hard to keep up with the language. How's that sound?
I think it sounds amazing. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday morning. You came into my mind very strongly. I was like, oh, Wendy, you know, I love Wendy. Well, maybe I need to give her a call today. I was actually thinking about that. And then later when you called, I was like, oh. So we were already on that telepathic wavelength, because you're already a galactically attuned person. You and I have always been on the same wavelength. We know that. And I think that a lot of, when I go out to teach energy healing, one of the main goals I'm having for anybody is to just say, hey, you know, people are like, well, I don't know. Should I do this? Is it okay to do this? Yes, it's okay to do this, because it's exactly what you're saying. There's a thought that drops into your mind that wasn't created by you. You didn't make it up. And so when that thought or that urge, like, oh, here's Wendy, she's in my mind. Did that come from me? No, you just dropped right in there. That means there's some telepathy happening here. There's something happening here. And the more I can talk people into listening to that inner thing that's happening that doesn't seem to be from themselves, that seems more like what I would call the imaginative part of the person, just go with it. Go with it. It's good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it works.
And part of that, too, is there are reasons sometimes for me when I have a very, very strong imprint from somebody else, whether it's a past imprint, you know, it's something else is going on. It may be that I need to revisit that. It may be that I need to let go of that, that there's a tug and something is going on with that person. So a lot of times I will just kind of touch base and check in to see what is it that I need to know. And it may not be about the contact, but about the refresh on what that energy pattern for me was. And do I need to let that go? I mean, that's how I work with a lot of it, you know, is that sometimes there's a pattern that I'm either readdressing or releasing. And if I know the template, which would be the person in the manifest form of this, then I can go back and kind of look at that and see how that applies. I hope that makes sense.
Believe it or not, to me, it makes perfect sense. But that's another story.
Okay.
You know, we talked about the Buddhist temple. I mean, that was the whole thing. You're meditating all day because this is what meditation does, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
And now a thought comes into your mind. And if it doesn't have an emotional charge, you said, oh, wow, look, there's one of my exes. God bless you. Okay, goodbye. I'm done with that. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then maybe something else comes up and you're like, oh, wow, I haven't thought of that in 30 years. Then you work on it and then it changes its energy and moves on. It comes out of the body. That's what it is.
It releases. It's like, okay, I did that. Mm-hmm. Great. Great, done. And that's the thing, I think, when you're looking at past lives, so let's get into some of that, because I love the direction you're going. And the Edgar Cayce group, we'll talk about where that's going to. But on your website right now, there are two new works, Meet Your Karma and Past Lives with Pets. These are like, wow, home runs, okay? Because the way that you're dealing with this, especially with your awareness of past lives and how they influence our present, gives people a new way of, I think, becoming more holistic in their visions of how everything is connected. And it's just that simple. It's connected. But we make those connections as we work through our karma. How's that? Does that, you know, maybe we heal our connections as we work through our karma.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Meet Your Karma is coming out in February from Llewellyn Worldwide. Woo!
Yay!
I can't say enough about those people at Llewellyn. They are the most wonderful people, and I love them dearly, and they have been hugely helpful to me in this process. I have had, you know, 20 years in the past life regression field, and I haven't really published a book on this subject since Lifestream, Journeys into Past and Future Lives, that was endorsed by Brian Weiss. So this is a lot of the case studies out of the drawer. Mm-hmm. And in this first book, what we're trying to do, I mean, I'm talking about a lot of things in this book. There's a lot of information in it, but the gist of it and the case studies are framed in the context of the fact that we have got a problem in the society. And I know you know what it is. We have massive epidemic proportions of anxiety, depression, people struggling with past traumas and things like that.
Yeah.
And so this book frames it around past lives that, you know, sometimes we can go to the therapist, we can get the meds, we can do all the right things, and yet there's still something in there that isn't quite releasing, like we were talking about earlier. Like, things need to come up and then they need to get up out of the body. But if they're not quite getting up out of the body, you know, I always know, and I've known for the last many years, that I am the last straw. People come to see me a lot of times, it's the last resort. They've tried everything and it isn't working. And then that's when people, you know, do make these miraculous discoveries that, oh, you mean that thing that was kind of causing me to feel down actually happened 3,000 years ago? Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. And then I developed a process that I put a little acronym to called the relief method, that takes people through these certain steps where we can actually relieve those symptoms, let's say, of anxiety, depression, and trauma by reframing the way we're viewing the past, energetically releasing thought forms that relate to past life memories and things like that. And then in the book, so there's tons of case studies, really interesting. But the thing that I think is going to be more helpful for people is that I am giving people, the reader, again, just like in the Pythagorean healing, I'm giving you a healing method, people. And in this book, I'm actually going to give you complete little sessions from yours truly with scripts, so the reader could either record them on their own, or I'll probably have some places where my book buyers can come in and I'll have recorded these things for people so that they can actually do the processes themselves. Yeah. And go through the journey of journaling things out and taking a journey of the soul as they peel off the layers of the onion of the soul and yes. clear up some of these things that are very, very, very traumatic for people. Because I don't want to see people unhappy anymore. I don't want to see people hearing that they've taken their own lives and they just feel despair and things like that. There are ways to work through this. There is hope. What you know, there's hope, and I need to help people.
I like these. You're bringing up some stuff that I dealt with when I was dealing with talking to Nightlights, and I was first meeting my group, my core, my spirit guides, messengers, all the whole nine yards. One of them was the pincushion, that we are in essence dealing with some of these issues like a pincushion, and the pins are in there, and so we just take them out. So as we identify this, you know, sometimes we're able to process it immediately in the current lifetime and it's done. When we don't do that and we haven't done it from past lives, there are layers and there is residue, and to me that's a pin. And so when we identify whatever that particular issue is, then pin's gone. The other thing was the onion and layers. Mm-hmm. You know, as we deal with the onion, well, what happens when you deal with an onion? You're crying. Okay. That's release. And that's normal. And why cry when you could laugh? Oh, there's another layer. Poof, gone. It's just an onion. You know, the mm-hmm. levity that comes with giving it less impact and less trauma as you're readdressing old issues and old, you know, layers of decay. Basically, that's what it is. And so you need to just refresh and rejuvenate. And that's what happens with a lot of this when we're, I think, when you're giving people tools instead of saying, hey, come back to me for 6 more months or 6 more weeks and we'll just relive all of your trauma. Wow. Okay. Talk about pain and absolutely intensifying it without giving any hope of relief for, as that was said, 6 months. That might be why we're going backwards.
That's the reason why I became a hypnotherapist, because I have been through traditional therapy. And I mean, I don't think the therapist really had the tools to help me get out of that, but you can't just be having a great day and now we're going to go wallow in this stuff and bring up stuff that we should be really letting go of. And so hypnotherapy and using the mind is how you get freed of this so that you can feel more peaceful. And yes, you're exactly right. We have to cry. I mean, I think people are largely afraid of feeling, let's say, unproductive emotions. But like the Buddhists taught me in the temple, Wendy, nothing lasts forever. And so if you let that crying out, it's going to end. And what comes is a cleansing, like you said, it's a release. And then the soul just kind of washes itself off mm-hmm. and is feeling a little bit better for next time. I mean, that's how it works.
And the body's releasing certain types of, in that fluid, there's a little release and a little relief that comes with that. And it can be tears of joy, just like tears of pain or mm-hmm. hurt or sorrow, tears of joy and tears of awareness and ecstasy. Okay. There's also that thing of, OMG, and the tears flood and you're going, oh, have I never been here before? And that's a cold. I mean, those are tears. I've been there where it's like, it's just, and there's this release and this awareness and this elevation that comes with it when you're realizing I'm witnessing something extraordinary and I can't share it. The only thing I can do is cry. And that sucks. But at the same time, it's like the epiphany that happens and all of a sudden you aren't the person you were before because this thing gave you an expanded knowing that there is more here than meets the eye. And so that, I think, with all of these things that you're offering people, is an elevation in awareness and a greater connection with all that is. And that's, you know, that's just my own personal opinion. So there it is.
I completely concur that that's exactly what crying and emoting is all about. I mean, it brings more room for you to have more light in your life by letting go of some stuff and expanding.
Okay. I want to jump very quickly to the one that's super, super important. Pets. Past lives with pets.
Oh, I was hoping we could get talked about this. Okay. Mm-hmm. People go, oh, what's your favorite book you've ever written? I'm telling you, people, I know y'all haven't read it yet, but I'm telling you, this is the cutest little book. I absolutely love it. And yes, what it's talking about is, you know, I kind of made a joke about it because people don't come to see me because they're having issues with their dog. You know, my dog is really driving me bananas. I'm getting ready to leave him. No. Okay. That's not really.
No. No.
You know, your pets are really, honestly, it's so important to have a relationship with our pets because sometimes it's the only real sense of unconditional love and caring and caregiving and all the relationship things that go on with our pet are very, very important. But this is taken from all the case studies over the many years where, no, they didn't come to see me because they're having an issue with their cat. They came to see me for something else. And then as a beautiful byproduct, they happened to discover that Fido was somebody they knew in the French court or something. And so these are really interesting case studies, not just about, of course, we have a lot of cats, dogs, and horses. And then we have all kinds of other animals, really, and some of the most, for me, some of the most entertaining and interesting case studies ever. But then on a more healing level, I think that the challenge that we face when we love animals is that we sign up for something in advance, knowing that unfortunately, you know, our lifespan isn't the same as theirs and they're going to go away. And so now we've got the dog's journey. So a lot of the case studies are people, just like on that new movie, the Dog's Journey, where the pet passed away and now the pet actually is able to reincarnate as another pet into the same person's lifetime. And so I actually have case studies about this from real people. And then a lot of, again, we're going to do some self-help. There's going to be guided journeys, full guided journeys. You want to go see how you knew your dog, Wendy? We're going to get to find out. And then also, very important would be once they do pass, I've done a lot of grief recovery with people, but we're going to go on special grief recovery journeys to meet with our little baby pet and just kind of heal that grief and resolve that. As well as there'll be like going and meeting animal totem journeys and just all kinds of interesting stuff in this book. For me, it's my all time favorite. I don't know when I'm ever going to write anything as much as I love this one. Okay. And I hope people can pre-order these. That would be so helpful for me if y'all would go out and pre-order them. I promise you, you're going to love them. The people at Llewellyn, the editors, I can't say enough. I want to turn a cartwheel and jump for joy every day. I'm so fortunate. I'm so blessed.
Well, okay. So I want to go and quickly ask the pet that inspired you to write this.
My little cat Biscuit. If people go out on Instagram, they're going to start seeing Biscuit, hashtag Biscuit, but you can see my little pet pictures. I'm going to start putting a lot more of that out there. Biscuit and I have a special connection. He's my little fuzzball. And so I know he's going to become an international celebrity when this book comes out. I don't want to spill the beans, but let's just say Mommy and Biscuit have been around the block before and we're continuing our love affair in our current lifetime.
Okay.
And so he's a little love.
Okay. I just went on
stay tuned.
Yes. Yeah. PastLifeLady.com. I just went on and followed your blog. Okay. So there we go. The official website. So if you're listening, this is it. PastLifeLady.com. Follow the blog. It's super easy. It's on WordPress. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about some pets, the karma, the Pythagorean healing.
Hearing, hearing.
I know. Like, I have that. I tell you, and if you're listening, this is something that I kept every time I talked about her and said, yes, I've got you booked. Yes, we're covering your new book and your new work and your new, all the interest and the Edgar Casey connection we're going to talk about in the next half hour for Pythagorean hearing. And I'm like, okay, I know it's healing. I keep saying hearing and I can't help myself. So there's a reason. So I do believe that the telepathy thing is huge. And maybe that's the next installment. All right. So we're going to put Shelly to work. She'll have to process this while she's over in Egypt. Oh, did I say something? Let me come back and we'll readdress that in the next half hour. Conscious Living, Shelly Kerr, Past Life Lady, Empower Radio.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, this is so great.
Much fun. Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
I think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You are a waste. A loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas, then get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit stopbullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. I'm going to undo that last message and come back with the bunny ears, because this is how you tell kids to brush your teeth. And you heard all that. La, 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 la. And the kid, I like bunny ears because he's tying his shoelaces. And then at the very end, why are your pants on your head? Okay, because the bunny ears. Did you get that in that commercial? And they're brushing their teeth now. Maybe. No. Okay. That's how we listen. We have little bits and pieces and parts. And some of those parts are extremely influential. That's why I wanted to counter the message of the last one, because it starts out with a real hardcore push on what it feels like to be bullied. So as you're hearing that, you're going, oh, and it's imprinting on you. You realize that? That's how effective ads are. So some of this stuff that we already have, I was talking about the pin cushion earlier, that went right in. that went right in. And so we have to go back and say, nope, that's not me. Mm-mm, does not apply. No. So it depended on how intently you were listening as to how deep those messages made an imprint. And that I thought, wow, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect what we're talking about, with stuff we don't even know is there from childhood trauma. And then that additional layer or underlayment of past life trauma. That's why I think the work that you're doing, Shelley, is so crucial in helping us identify beyond this material plane, the other parts of our spiritual core that we have always imprinted, and that we can finally say, you know what, this is real. I'm going to deal with it. And I'm dealing with it now. So coming back with the symbols that you worked with when you were working with the Egyptian method, and then extrapolating that to the Pythagorean healing. These are layers, and you're starting right now with healing and giving people exercises. So going back to the beginning of our interview, working with the colors and the symbols that you imprint and pass on, working with the crown chakra, do you have testimonials? Because that's what people go to. Okay, how does this work? How will it work for me? That people can listen to and log on to and find out more about what you're doing with that.
All of these, the Edgar Cayce book just came out in June, on June 1st. Right now I'm at a big expo in Dallas, Texas, and I actually, the first time that book ever hit the streets was at the same expo, but on June 1st. That was the first time I rolled that out to the public in any wide way. And then I've been teaching all summer in Dallas, and then I finally started going on the road with the Edgar Cayce Foundation. I've been to California and Houston thus far, and I'm going to Virginia Beach in January to teach this. So as far as healing methods go, this is like a little tiny, this one's like maybe a 6-month-old baby. He's starting to crawl and go around on his own. And Pythagorean healing is kind of just barely out of the, out of the womb, let's just say.
Well, it takes
some advanced healers that have taken it, and I'm teaching an advanced workshop in December where people will be learning Pythagorean healing. I haven't publicly talked as much about this one though. So I will be forthwith revealing some of these things. But it's more of a balancing, but in terms of like actual things that I can tell you right now, I really don't have that information yet.
I know it's early, and that's why I wanted to kind of put the seed in there that this is how we learn, because what happens is when somebody does it and has a result, they share it. It doesn't get some big book publisher out there going, oh, looky, here's this. It gets the people who are actually using it saying, I have experienced this. And that makes it real. That word of mouth, that organic connection is how we humans tend to process and then work and evolve as we, as a species, but as we grow into, I think, utilizers of more of our conscious knowing, instead of just saying, here, this is what they taught me, and this is what I do, and I'll repeat it to you, and hopefully it'll work. I don't have a clue about it, but I read it, and here you go. That doesn't work anymore. I don't know if it ever did.
Several years ago, I wrote another book called Holographic Mapping, Energy Healing Made Simple, which is a really super simple technique. And I put it in a $2.99 book on Amazon. Now that one's got about 30 people in there going, oh my God, this is so simple. I love this. It's so easy. And so, but that happened just exactly like you're saying, very organically. People started using it. They started reviewing the book. They love it. And now that technique is so simple that it's kind of starting to come back around, and people are starting to notice it again, because these other things, the Edgar Cayce and the Pythagorean, are also very simple techniques. And so I kind of like the idea of organic. I don't like all this, let me go hire a marketing genius to try to figure this out. I don't care about any of that. I'm giving people tools, and when they want to find them and they hopefully can use them, I mean, I know that they work and I know that they've helped me. And I taught it over the summer to a couple of very advanced groups of healers. Mm-hmm. And the one out of the three books that are published, well, everybody had different reactions. Everybody first, they did love the primary numbers 1-9 in the first level, but the one they went absolutely nuts over, that I also agree, for me, this is so high frequency that it's potentially too much for some people. I don't know, but is in the second book in the series called Binary Healing. This is where, just like the name implies, I teach the reader a technique to actually use binary code, zeros and ones, to go in and make a completely high frequency upgrade to the energy system around the body. And so then subsequently, after following up with the advanced healers later, I asked them, so which one do you like the best? Which one do you use the most? And most of them said binary healing. One girl thought it sounded too creepy, like a science fiction movie, and she was kind of worried about it. I was like, yes, they're taking over, whether you like it or not. The machines. Everyone else said, oh, my God, the binary healing. It's amazing. And I do use that one a lot, too. There's a different method for men and women, and we just go 0101, and we just put that in the body in a certain way. And I'm telling you, that is supercharged. That's like putting your finger in a light socket. It's amazing. Then the platonic one also is more about balancing elements within the body using the platonic solids of Plato. For me, I guess if I had to say, binary is my favorite.
Okay. And you said something in there I want to quickly note, because in terms of energy healing, when I learned to channel, I had to, it was like three years of doing different ways of doing it and addressing females and males differently, because males, the energy for me was much more in your face, in my space, where the females were separate, and they kept themselves, I think, guarded or limited or in some way withdrawn, and the guys were just all forward. And I had to learn how to put a barrier boundary so I could learn to deal with it without being overwhelmed. When you're talking, I think it's brilliant that you identify there's a different way to deliver that energy for men and women. I think that's absolutely incredible that you're acknowledging that and saying this exists. Honor it.
It does. And the thing about it, though, is I really can't give myself credit for coming up with this, because how I developed this, I went out to a CE5 experience, which is basically where we do close encounters of the fifth kind, where we consciously call in the same creatures to us. It was very hot in Texas. We're staying up all night using a meditative technique that we learned to call in space creatures. And I was getting eaten alive by bugs because I chose to use peppermint oil instead of proper bug spray. Trying to be organic, and it didn't work. Okay. So I spent the next couple of days kind of sick in bed. But sometimes when I'm like that, then good things come from it. So at the end of the second day, I woke up in the morning, and this was just right in my consciousness. Just like we talked about earlier, it was an idea that did not come from myself. I was shown this thing. I was told, go write it down. And then that's when shortly after that happened, I was teaching a class anyway. I hadn't shown any of the Pythagorean stuff to anyone. And these advanced students were coming, and my guides were saying, you need to teach this. And I was like, all right, I'll see. It's kind of like, I used to work for a famous motivational speaker, and he said, you could be the worst salesperson in the world and you could still sell something. You go, hey, you wouldn't want to buy something, would you? Maybe eventually somebody's going to say, well, I don't know. Maybe I do. What are you selling? So it's kind of like that. I showed it to them, and they were like, oh my God. And they liked it so much better than the things I was actually teaching them. But then that's kind of how it started, Wendy.
Okay. Hey, all right. Here's the dream this morning. Okay. This is the dream. I'm thinking, where does this factor in? All right. I am outside with my husband, and I'm looking up at the sky. I'm seeing two black triangles. Now, they're not too far, like just above the trees, these black triangles. I'm like, oh my God, look, you have to look quick, look at them. Because basically I wanted him to see what I was seeing. And he looks up. Yeah, he sees them. These two black triangles follow. And we're following them. They're following us. I say, you know what? They are tuned in. They know we're following them. They land. They're two people. And the people, one of them looks like, the sci-fi stuff I watch, okay, it looks like a skeleton with eyes, basically a skeleton that has awareness and ability to move and speak the whole nine yards. But that kind of thing with an overlay, gray overlay over it, and then a person. So one is kind of a hybrid. The other one is a human. He's speaking to me. The hybrid is speaking to me, saying, this is important, independence. And I'm saying, oh, you mean freedom. And I'm listening to the language, not hearing all of it, not being able to make sense of all of it, because it's foreign to me. And then But what I do understand is we are independent and we have the freedom to choose, to believe. And he's excited because we've acknowledged that they are there and that they have information to share. And the other human is the one helping him bridge the gap, who's also, they are also cloaked in black triangles. I thought, where does this apply? And then I'm hearing you with the CE5 going, oh yeah, oh, trying to make contact with the other beings, the other, those out there, whether they're Arcturians or, you know, Syrians, whatever. This is how we are connected, because I have that little piece of the puzzle that you experienced, and I made it, for me, applicable in a way I could understand it. And this is the stuff we do without having a clue. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I do believe that these other beings are trying to get our attention.
Yes, I absolutely.
Sometimes succeeding, sometimes not succeeding. But if we listen, there's good stuff there that we, you know, people go, oh, are these aliens evil? I mean, I believe any kind of race probably has good and bad. Okay. But I still believe most of the aliens who are here are attempting to help us if we would just simply listen.
Well, and I think it also has a paranormal, a foreign element that we are not going to identify because it's too far outside our own ability to conceive, because our brain is limited. We can only, you know, on the light spectrum, we can only see certain things. And some people have expanded so they can see dead people and they can see fairies and elementals and that kind of stuff. I sense them. That's the way I do it. And so this thing that we are evolving is called consciousness. And as we become more conscious of these other beings, and all of it is changing right now. That's why I said this is like turbo. All of a sudden we're into turbo advancing. And those things, I think, that we're given in dreams and insight and epiphanies, that's where a lot of our great Tesla, you know, Einstein, these people talked about, I got this in a dream. I had an inspired moment. The light bulb, those are other elementals, other beings, other awarenesses, other consciousness imparting their own, input into us to help us evolve. And I know you are, with your past lives, you are so in tune to being able to help people make connections with their own awareness, with their own knowing. And that's how we learn. And there's only one way to do it. And that's called experience. Put your toe in the water. And then at whatever point is convenient, jump in.
And have the courage to listen to it.
Yeah.
Just listen and do it.
Yeah, it's there's so much, I think, available. You know, you do a Google search and you get all sorts of stuff. And if you want to be fear-based and say, oh, you know, that's evil, that's okay. But there's a knowing that also comes with, well, what are you putting into it? Is it your belief system that says it is? Is it all the people around you, all of the background you have? Suspend that for a moment and say, what here is important for me to learn? What might I observe that is different from what I have been taught and imprinted? What can I bring to the equation? How can I upgrade it? How can I evolve it? There was somebody this week who came to me and said, you know, ants, somebody told me that ants were evil. I'm seeing, not ants, it's flies were evil. And so I don't know, I'm seeing more flies right now. Okay, now there's an obvious answer. This time of year, right now, what's going on? Okay, the obvious answer, it's getting cold out, the flies are coming in, da, 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 da. But the problem I saw was that there had been an imprint that flies are evil. Different cultures have different belief systems. I had learned from Kinship with All Life about a guy who had an encounter with, in terms of this book, it's talking about a German shepherd who's extraordinary in his ability, very smart, but the story was of a fly, and he had an encounter with a fly and had a friendship developed telepathically with this fly. So I tried it. I thought, well, okay, there was a fly in my house. I thought, I will just think, if you want to go outside, land on my finger, I'll carry you outside. And it was just this innocence of, I'm going to try it. And I'm not going to hurt the fly no matter what happens. No intent to harm that fly. If he's inside, he's inside, but he might die quicker. If he goes outside, it's nice. So I'm printing that on my, you know, in my mind to the fly. I swear the fly came up, landed on my finger, and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't want to breathe. I don't want to scare the fly. I'm holding on my finger and getting it to the door and letting it outside. I'm like, oh my gosh, this works. Okay, well, that was in the 90s.
Wow.
I still need to work more on that. But that was the thing of having it, because somebody told me that it existed, I was able to try it and see if I could do it. And when I did, so my answer was, it depends on your culture. If this is evil, then be aware of what you're bringing into it, because it may not work that same way for you. So acknowledge that and honor somebody else's system, but it may not apply for you. And the person said, wow, I hadn't thought of it like that. And I also said, okay, it could also be it's that time of year. Flies come in for the winter. But the system that that was in that belief system was, I thought, toxic and needed a little bit of a refresh. So that's what we do as we work through our stuff when we decide, let me try this. If it's healthy, upgrading, uplifting, positive, then I will give it a shot. If it's something that says that we are less than or others are less than we are, then I walk the other way. So that's how, you know, that's how we all work our progress, I think. And with yours, again, PastLifeLady.com, if you're listening, Meet Your Karma, Past Lives with Pets, Pythagorean Healing. And we'll see when hearing comes in.
I think you're amazing, Wendy. And I agree. You and I are completely on the same page. I hear you, girl. And the other thing you said earlier I want to bring up for a minute is, like, my books have self-help in them because I really don't want people coming back to my office every week. I really want people to have tools so that they can do it for themselves.
Yes.
That's important to me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing of empowerment, of giving somebody the ability to believe in themselves without being stuck and caught up in a system. Because the more we, I think, extrapolate this out from what the person or the originator here on this plane gives us, and then bring our own piece of that to the equation, our own puzzle piece, then we all learn and we all benefit and consciousness grows. What I wanted to go back to is this Edgar Cayce thing and, you know, the stuff that you're doing with Egypt and your traveling and some things like that that you might want to just put out there, a little thing of for people who like to travel. I'm trying to be suspicious, vague.
Okay. Throwing the pole in the water, friends, and she's reeling me in. You have a way of always getting me to talk about things that I've never talked about before.
And oh, good.
The great
okay,
things
good.
About you, Wendy.
Sign.
So, yeah, ever since the book came out, I've had tons of people saying, hey, we want you to take us to Egypt. And I had selected this dream cruise where I was going to go buzzing around for 22 days through Egypt and the Holy Land. And it was all mapped out. And you and I talked about this the other day, too. And then during the Mercury retrograde, I, as an Aries, sometimes have challenges during Mercury retrograde. But I have come to embrace the fact that when the planet Mercury is doing its little spin, sometimes that's time to stop what we're doing, take a look at everything, and then make needed adjustments so we can go forward again in the right direction. So during the last Mercury retrograde, I was contacted by the Edgar Cayce Foundation about their trip to Egypt in March. Mm-hmm. And this is not on the website yet. This has not been advertised, but I am going with John Van Auken on the Egypt tour on March 24th. So people should check my website for when I'm actually going to be announcing this, because it'll be going up on our websites very soon. I literally, you talk about somebody who's probably going to be bursting into tears, bawling out of sheer gratitude. I cannot believe that I am this fortunate. This is like a dream come true. There isn't anybody who's been doing Egypt with as much intensity, passion, and knowledge as John Van Auken. And the fact that I'm going to get to go with him is just blowing my mind right now. I mean, so we are going to be, you know, he does the big meditating in the Great Pyramid and floating down the Nile. I think it'll be during the floating down the Nile portion of the program that I'm going to activate everyone into Edgar Cayce's Egyptian energy healing. And then we're going to be going, of course, to Karnak Temple, the Valley of the Kings, you know. And what's interesting, I mean, the reason why I was going to go to Egypt no matter what next year is because 20 years ago in 2000 is when I went the first time. And shortly after that, that's when I had my near-death experience that got me into all the things that I'm doing. So the fact that I'm going to be going with them, I mean, the first time I went to Cairo, I was just with a friend and we were winging it, you know, back when I was a young girl. And I went on the pyramids. I stood on them, but I never went in through the public entrance. But I actually put my hands on the pyramid. I could have been tossed in jail, but luckily I didn't realize that at the time. And I, you know, I didn't get tossed in jail, but
yes,
you know, so a lot of the things we're going to be doing, while I've been all over Egypt, 20 years ago, but I haven't done it to this level. It's a really in-depth tour. So people should just check my website. Maybe by the time this show actually airs, that announcement will be fully public, but as usual, okay. I'm going to give you the inner circle, but I am very grateful. I'm blown away. And, I think people should come along with us because John Van Auken is an incredible writer and very, very amazing.
Okay.
And we're
going to
have fun.
Too.
Come on.
It's just being in somebody else's space. Sometimes we get that energetic uplift, that boost that says, hey, all bets off. This is cool. And you have that energy, that enthusiasm, that animation that adds another layer and helps you make the leap, the jump, the step to that next level. I was just reading again, somebody was talking about how important and amazing it is to dream in sacred spaces, because that's in the old days. That's what the seers, the sages went to do when they went to a sacred space, was to get energy, to get an infusion, an upgrade, a conscious elevation from spirit, saying, okay, here's the next step. And you're right there. You're explaining exactly how that happened, that you were there. And then this stuff came into play. That is our knowing. That is our evolution working on a conscious level to give us a clue that, wow, we are incredible. We are extraordinary in our ability to create and manifest a higher level of knowing right now at this time in our history. This is what this ascension is all about. I was told ascension when I first heard it 20 years ago, like you're saying. 1997, you're working on ascension. What? What? Mm-hmm. Look it up. Google. Google. Oh, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, what? And I was, you know, there before I had a clue what it was. And it just has to do, like you're saying, when Mercury retrograde comes around, clean house. Just clean house. That'll help you.
Yeah, it does. Hey, that's what Marie Kondo thinks. So let's give it a shot. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. And it's trending. It's trending.
Trending on Twitter. Yeah.
So going back to Biscuit. All right. Is it going to be Biscuit, the uncut version?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. You can take that too many ways. Biscuit. I know Biscuit revealed. And this is the past lives of pets. How's that?
Yes. People can stay tuned for how Mommy and Biscuit knew each other in the past. And that's why he is spoiled rotten and gets carried around the house all the time.
Okay. This is May 2020.
So very interesting.
Out. Yeah, it's Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Companions, Shelley Kerr. And that the new deal with Llewellyn, I think, is pretty fantastic, too. It helps when you have a publisher behind you, supporting you and giving you encouragement, and also doing the little micromanagement of editing. Oh, yeah. Whoops, that didn't go.
Yes, I think people are going to find these are very well edited. I read the galley for Meet Your Karma, and I was like, who wrote this? It was so well done. I was like, I didn't recognize it. People can stay tuned for something very professional.
Yeah. They take care of the laundry. All right. Because that really, having a professional editor or copywriter, you know, go through and just kind of do fine tuning. Because that's one of the things I see here with some of the self-published and some of the Kindle books. It's like, oh my gosh, they killed it. They, you know, and so these kinds of killed it and not in a happy way. Okay, so now that term is obviously turned around.
Yes,
to say,
I'm sure some of my readers could say the same thing about yours truly over here. So, yes, believe me, we understand that. Some of my bad reviews are because of bad editing things and that I had to go back and fix. So,
that's the thing. That's the thing. So just knowing that, that's what I'm saying. You got a wonderful upgrade with Llewellyn. And so congratulations on that. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful. So.
And if you're listening, Past Life Lady, you can do the blog, you can go on and find out with your gemstones, which we didn't cover this time, with all the other things that you have been doing. I think that's a very holistic approach to this, that everything is connected, that we can learn so much when we just start going and saying, how does this piece fit? How? And then you realize here's a thread, here's a tie, here's a string. And there we are. Right here on this same level, no matter how advanced or how not advanced we are, we're all on planet Earth. And because we're here, we're all on the same playing field. I hope that mm-hmm. This takes us forward and brings us into more of a sense of unity instead of disagreeing on the teeny tiny fractional parts that say that we don't belong here. Oh, we certainly do. We certainly do. And this is our opportunity to embrace that and say, how do I fit? How can I add to the equation? And you've put out in how many books now, how you're adding. it's all in print.
There you go. Friends.
What do you want people to go forward from this? We've got 2 minutes and it's yours.
I was thinking about the gemstones, you know, that's still my great love. And only recently, it sounds weird, I hadn't thought of this in 20 years, but when I'm sending my gemstones out, I charge them with, you know, healing energies. And I started realizing that that's a way that I'm connecting to people, because I have people coming up to me who haven't seen me in 15 years. They'll pull the rocks they got from me out of their pocket and go, look, I've been carrying this whole time. So for me, it's a way that I can connect with people, and I give them it's almost like giving them a little prayer that they can carry with them. And so I've kind of come to a different understanding of why I do still do the gemstones, and that they're still very important to me, because they're tangible things that can remind us of a feeling that we can be having. And I just want to send positivity out in the world. I want to see that unity consciousness that you're talking about as well, Wendy. And I know we can do it, people. We just all have to stay calm. Just the stuff's hitting the fan. We're being calm and we're knowing that all is well, and we can become peaceful. We can become unified, and everything's going to be okay in the end.
Well, part of it is the fear thing of the unknown, of what's happening. And when everything around you is going to heck in a handbasket, you're going, oh my, oh my, oh my. Well, that's house cleaning. Okay. Sometimes the chaos has to hit the mm-hmm. fan, and you have to say, nope, this doesn't work. Nope, that doesn't work. Tried that, been there. No need to repeat the experience. And that's part of what this, I think, is about, getting the chaos front and center to say, how does this not fit? How have we outgrown? How does this no longer apply? Where do we upgrade? What do we do to clean out the baggage, the residue, the decay that will keep us from going forward into an empowered, conscious humanity? And that our species, I think, is experiencing full-bodied right now. And as each and every one of us learns to say, I've got a positive element I can bring to this here. Take it and run with it. And that's what you're doing. Okay? Past Life Lady, Shelly Kerr, giving you the tools to take it and run with it. Hey, Shelly, thank you.
Wendy, you are awesome. And I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Thank you. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.